Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today, you will hear the story of Michelle Rosin. You're going to love her story, so stay with me and I'll be right back. Shabbat, 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 Shalom, Shabbat, Shabbat. Shabbat Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open on Wednesdays from 3 to 5, Thursdays from 2 to 5, and Saturdays after services up till 1 o'clock p.m. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester, New York area, be sure to visit Shema Yisrael and the Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Of course, that was the great voice of Jonathan Sattel. Since I've now been on the air for 25 years, it's really hard to say which song or songs are my favorites. But I gotta say, this next song from Sally Klein O'Connor is definitely one of the favorites, for sure. Waiting for the King of Jews Blues. Yeah.
Savior, that's when my ship will sail. I've got those long anticipating. Don't get near me, Satan. When barbecue juice blues, those rapture without warning, still here in the morning. Dividend comes out, biding my time for my Lord. I've got those long anticipating. Don't get near me, Satan. Waiting for the King of Jews blues. Those guests I'll take a plumbing till the second coming. Waiting for the King of Jews.
Messianic community together through their broadcast. Congratulations, Ethel. Shalom.
If you have had or have been involved in an abortion decision, you may be experiencing emotional difficulties. You may feel like your life is out of control or struggle with self-destructive behaviors. You can find freedom from these challenges. The ministry Finding Freedom and Forgiveness Post-Abortion can help. Groups are forming now. Please contact us at 585-204-7869, email us at fffpaclass@gmail.com, or visit us on the internet at f3pa.org. God bless you. Again, that phone number is 585-204-7869. Call now. We really want to help. I played this next song from Jonathan Sattel on my very first broadcast. It's called Sing and Dance.
Come, let us praise the Lord and sing Him a new song. Come, let us sing His praise together with the saints, with all the righteous ones. Let Israel rejoice in her Creator. Let the children of Eretz Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing, making music with the tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people, He will crown the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this order, sing and dance unto the Lord. Come, let us praise the Lord and sing him a new song. Come, let us sing his praise together with the saints, with all the righteous ones. Let Israel rejoice in her Creator. Let the children of Eretz Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing, making music with a tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will crown the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this order. Sing and dance unto the Lord. Let them praise his name with dancing, making music with the tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will crown the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this order. Sing and dance unto the Lord. Sing and dance unto the Lord. Sing and dance unto the Lord.
Hi, Ethel. It's Jonathan, Jonathan Sattel. I just saw your message, and I am overjoyed for you to have been able to broadcast for 25 years. You have made multiple ripples in this lake of love. Lives you have touched with the Jewish Messiah has made life so rich and delicious. Thank you for using my music, and thank you for being steadfast in your work. God bless you, friend. Here's to another quarter century.
How wonderful to hear from some of my favorite Messianic artists. I remember my very first broadcast. It was actually 11 p.m. to midnight on August 2nd, 1997. And after arranging things with my congregation who would sponsor me and the radio station staff, it became a regular starting on September the 7th, 1997. So who would have guessed it? You know, I don't mind telling you, I was 43 years old when Bagels and Blessings began. And now that I have a child in his 40s, it kind of puts the whole thing in perspective. Well, God is good. You never know what he's going to dump on your lap at any time of your life. It's never too late. No matter how old you are, God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. So I am so excited to be on the air for 25 years. And this is Ethel Chadwick. You are listening to Bagels and Blessings. And stay tuned for my interview with Michelle Rosine. I'm so excited, folks, just to have accomplished being on the air for 25 years. It's incredible. And I know many of you have asked me, how did it all begin? And I don't even know if you know. Well, I'll tell you the short version. I was listening to the radio while I was typing away at my job at Eastman Kodak, and I heard the announcer say, "You can be host for a day. Send us a tape, and you can do a one-time, one-hour show." And I thought, well, wouldn't that be swell? And I sent a tape off, and they picked me, and the Lord gave me the idea to call it Bagels and Blessings. And I said, well, gee whiz, if I'm going to be on the radio for just one time, I'm going to pretend I'm a real DJ. And I invited someone to come on the air and share his testimony. And the Lord gave me the name Bagels and Blessings, and I had the idea to have an opening song and a closing song. And the whole thing just kind of came together, and it was really exciting, and a lot of calls came in, and they said to me, well, you know, you might want to think of keeping this on the air if you can raise your own support. And the rest, my friends, is history. So you might think, support? Does Bagels and Blessings need support? Well, actually, it does cost $110 a week to stay on the air. And if you've never given, I would highly recommend that you go on bagelsandblessings.com and you can just click on donate now or send money directly through PayPal to bagelsandblessings@gmail.com. I would really appreciate your support. And speaking of support, I have a couple of sponsors, and one of them is Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. Now hear this. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. Another song that's really dear to my heart is the Ve'ahavta from Liberated Willing Wall. Surely you know this from Deuteronomy 6. It starts in verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then it goes on to say, these commandments that I give you today are to be in your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Hallelujah. So here is a beautiful arrangement of this song, and I think you'll like it also.
Oh, Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
And now here's my interview with Michelle Rosine. Enjoy! Michelle Rosine, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here.
I'm excited to yet again find another person through Facebook. There might be a lot of evil things about social media, but for me, it has been a blessing to connect with so many interesting people.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Michelle, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about your life growing up. Were you raised in a traditional Jewish or non-Jewish home?
I was brought up in a very Orthodox Jewish home in Cape Town, South Africa. Oh. And I came to the Lord at the age of 14, secretly, in my own home, reading the Bible. And I kept very quiet about it until I was married at a very young age. Married a Gentile, actually, which was a great shunder. But it was a great blessing to me because I came to faith publicly when I was 22 and the mother of two and expecting my third. And I was able to tell my parents about it.
Wonderful. Well, I'd like to back up a little bit because I am so glad you came right to the point of how you and when you came to the Lord. But if we could go back just a little bit, when you were growing up, did your parents ever say anything about God? Did you ever know any Christians when you were younger? I'm just wondering.
Well, of course, my father was a very, very devout man, and so was my mother. We attended shul all the time. But I knew there was something more to God than just his name, you know, and I always wanted to know more. I was a very, very precocious young girl. I was reading at the age of 3. My first very serious book was Leon Uris's Exodus. And that actually shaped my life. I'll explain later on, but the Lord really gave me a great love for Israel and a great love for his people. And yes, I did grow up knowing a lot of Christians.
Wonderful. So it's not usual for a young Jewish girl of 14 to even get her hands on a Bible. I'm assuming you meant the Old and the New Testament. How did you get a hold of a Bible, and what piqued your interest? What made you want to read the Bible?
I wanted to know more. When I was growing up, I was 5 and a half when my late grandfather, my paternal grandfather, died. He was very Orthodox, from Poland. And when I asked about, when I was about 5, I asked who Jesus was. And I didn't yet know him as Yeshua. That came later. He said, oh, he was a prophet, but he just wouldn't talk about it anymore. And so that gave me pause for thought. And I was very, as I said, I was very precocious, and I wanted to read more. And I was going through some emotional turmoil, so I started reading. And I found the New Testament, and I couldn't put my that book down. I just voraciously read and read and read, and came to a full knowledge of the saving grace and the love of Yeshua, which was so incredibly wonderful to me. But I knew also that I was in enemy territory, so to speak, because my parents were so Orthodox. I didn't say a word. And so I kept reading. I was a voracious reader. I had a huge library, and it wasn't unusual for me to read about the Bible because I was brought up in an Orthodox Jewish school. So I was brought up with the Chumash, that's the five books of Moses, the Torah. And so it wasn't unusual for me to read about it. We had a very Orthodox and traditional Jewish life. We had the Shabbat, the Kiddush, all, you know, Friday night, and we went to shul. And so it was very interesting for me, because even in the shul, I kept wondering, where was God in all of this? And I got my answers in the scriptures.
Michelle, were you able to talk about it with anyone?
Oh, yes. I was able to talk about it with various friends, Gentile friends who came to faith and who believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and who loved Israel. And I have a particular friend. She's been my friend for at least 52 years. I'm going to be 70 next week.
Aww.
And she actually was instrumental in keeping up with me, even until this day. She led my mom to the Lord. I was able to lead my dad to the Lord. And I led my aunt to the Lord, but she kept following up with my aunt. And she was with my aunt when she died because I was here. And it was an amazing thing. So I was able to talk to Maggie, my friend Maggie, about it.
Wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the time when you finally were revealing it to your family. You finally told them that you were a believer in Yeshua. And I'd love to hear how that went over.
Well, it went over. First of all, let me explain. I was married to a Gentile who was born Irish, Protestant, and French Catholic.
Oh, boy.
Yes. It was a real scandal. He's a good man, but he was a square peg in a round hole.
Uh-huh.
And my father gave permission for us to marry. And we married, and of course we had our three children. And by the time I was pregnant with my son, who's going to be 47, and I had my two daughters already, we lived about an hour and a half away, and my neighbor invited me to a Pentecostal Protestant church on a Friday night. Now, usually on a Friday night, I visited my family, with my husband and children to have the, you know, Shabbat dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But my father was away on business. And so I went. And thus began my real overt walk with the Lord, as opposed to the covert. And I gave my heart publicly to Yeshua that night. And have not looked back.
Praise the Lord. Michelle, did you have any idea that there were Jews all over the world that believed in Yeshua?
Yes. As a matter of fact, at that particular congregation, there was one other Jewish person. I was treated like pure gold in that congregation. In fact, I was still friendly with the late pastor and his wife. He died 2 years ago, and one of the old lady who was there, her name was Mrs. Schongfucht, was my mom's very close friend, and she was a Jewish believer.
Wow.
So in those days, we didn't know that we were Messianic Jews. We knew each other as Hebrew Christians, would you believe? What an oxymoron that is. But that's how we were called in Cape Town, South Africa in the early 1970s.
Wow.
Soon afterwards, when I was pregnant with my son, I developed an ear infection and a perforated eardrum. And there was a wonderful missionary group that came to the congregation from the United States. And my husband carried me in, and we heard them. And it was a wonderful blessing. And we said we wanted to go to the next church the next night. But I was unable to walk. I had no equilibrium. So he took me. And this lady, we were sitting at the back of the church on the left-hand side. At the end of the service, she turned around and said, "There's a young woman seated at the left, on the left-hand side of the church in the back. She has a perforated eardrum. Would she please come forward? The Lord Jesus wants to heal her." And I wasn't able to walk into the church, but I was able to run down. And she laid her hands on me, and it felt like a piece of cheese being cut. And there was no more pain, and I was able to hear, because I was in danger of losing my hearing. And the Lord healed me.
Amazing.
And so with that was on a Friday night. On the Saturday afternoon, I went to visit my mom and dad. And my mom looked at me as I was entering the gate. She was in her garden. And she said, "Where were you last night? We came to visit you." And I said, "I was at a healing service." And she said, "You went to a quack?"
Uh-oh.
And I said, "No. I was healed in the name of Jesus. I didn't know him yet as Yeshua." And she looked at me and she said, "You're a traitor." And I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Jesus was not a Christian. Jesus was the greatest Jew who ever lived, and he lives with inside my heart." And she said, "You're a traitor. Hitler was a Christian." I said, "Hitler was a nut. He was demonic, and he was definitely not a Christian." And I said, "I stand by what I say, Mom." So she went in, she washed her hands and was bringing out the soup, a chicken soup, which she was going to serve to my dad. And I provoked her and I said, "Well, I believe in Jesus. And he healed me, and I praise the Lord for that." And she threw the chicken soup in my face. And I stood there, and I had tears running down my face. And I said, "Mom," I said, "the Lord said, I need to give you this cheek and that cheek. If you don't like these two cheeks, I'm going to give you the two bottom ones as well."
You did not.
I did.
Oh, Michelle.
I was not afraid of my mom. Even with the hot chicken soup running down my face, the Lord was wonderful to me because I didn't have a scar.
And I could have scalded you.
And I just told her, I said, "You can get as mad as you want." I said, "But I found my calling and I found my reason for living."
Wow.
And I went into the dining room and my father was eating his cold chicken. And I looked at him and I said, "Dad, I love you very much." I said, "You were going to buy my husband and I a car." And I said, "I can't receive your gift being in deception. I need to tell you that I was healed by Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ, the greatest Jew who ever lived. And I ask your forgiveness if I've hurt or offended you in any way. But I'm not going to change my stance." And he choked on a chicken bone, because my father in a temper was something to behold. And he calmed down. And my older sister took me back to my house because I wasn't driving at the time. I was pregnant. And I waited for my husband to come home. And the congregation prayed for 3 weeks, day and night, for my parents. And about 3 weeks later, my father's driver arrived at my husband's job with an envelope from my father with the keys to my brand new car, which was canary yellow.
Oh.
And with a note saying, "Your car is canary yellow. You are invited to first night Pesach, but please no religious discussions at the table." And that was an open door. When we got there, I realized that all my years of going to Hebrew school prepared me for the understanding of the Haggadah, and I understood everything that was being said, and I understood that Yeshua was the Lamb of God.
Amen. Yes.
And I was just so happy. From that time on, there was no prevarication. Every chance I got, I spoke to my dad and my mom about the Lord. Several years later, in 1975, I got a call from the Lord that my husband and I needed to take our children and go to Israel. And I went to my dad and I said, "We want to go to Israel." And I went to the Jewish Federation and got all the information, and we made all the arrangements, and we made Aliyah in 1976. Actually, we started our process in 1975, but in 1976, as we were about to leave, my younger daughter, went down with scarlet fever, and from all the medication she received, she was allergic to penicillin and sulfur, went down with Stevens-Johnson syndrome, the scalded burn syndrome, and was in hospital for several months in a coma.
Oh, no.
Yes. And so we delayed our Aliyah until the beginning of March, where the Lord had healed her. My pastor and his wife came every day. I was there 15 hours a day with my daughter. And right next to my daughter in another ward was this baby whose head was bigger than her body. She had hydrocephalus.
Aww.
And the day that my daughter cried out, "Mom, don't worry, the Lord Jesus is going to heal me." And she was in a coma. "Don't worry, the Lord Jesus is going to heal me." She started to improve. And that baby started to get better.
Your daughter spoke from a coma?
Yes.
That's a miracle.
Yes.
Wow.
She was delirious. But she cried out, "Don't worry, Mommy, the Lord Jesus is going to heal me."
And she wasn't even a believer yet, was she?
No, she was a baby of 2 and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So God was so faithful. She's still not a believer. There's a lot of stuff that has gone on in her life. But I remind her that she's a walking miracle today. She's 48.
Mm.
And I remind her that she's a walking miracle. So after that, we made Aliyah to Israel. And we went to a kibbutz ulpan, where all the Hebrew that I'd learned from the age of 3 came to my mind. And we were all speaking Hebrew, even my children and my husband, who was fluent in Hebrew, in English and French. He also learned Hebrew. And we were speaking within a month. And then we stayed 6 months on the kibbutz Ulpan. And then we went to our own kibbutz, which was in the north of Israel, bordering the Jordanian border. And we were there for a year. And certain things transpired. My grandmother and my uncle, mother and son, both died within the same month. So my mom wanted me to bring one of the children, my eldest daughter, for the double funeral. So I flew to South Africa with my daughter and left the other two children on the kibbutz with my husband. And by that stage, we were planning to move to a village called Carmiel, which is bordering Haifa. And when I got back from South Africa, my husband informed me that he no longer wanted to be married or the father of three children.
Oh, no.
Yep. And my mom and dad had arranged for one of our cousins to come and pick me up with the children from the kibbutz and to keep me with them for a week until they could arrange passage for me to go back to South Africa. I was devastated, and my children were inconsolable. But my faith in the Lord was sacrosanct. So I went back to South Africa, and for 22 months, underwent the most incredible changes in my life. I went to school. I did a business administration course that I was able to support my children. Even though my father was a wealthy businessman, I didn't want to just be the recipient. I wanted to help take care of my kids myself, because I knew that my husband wouldn't be able to. And I studied in the morning and I worked in the afternoon. I underwent a hysterectomy because I had contracted, after the birth of my son, fibroidal tumors that were bordering cancer. And I was very, very ill. And so I had a total hysterectomy at the age of almost 27.
Oh, that's so
young. Fortunately, I had three children.
Mm.
And I survived to be able to take care of my kids. In the meantime, that same year, 1978, when I went back to South Africa, my son had contracted an ear infection and had to have both his tonsils and adenoids removed. He was a baby of two. And in 1979, in September, my divorce became final. And I went to the Zionist Federation and I told them I wanted to go back alone with three kids. I was going back to Israel. That's where the Lord wanted me. In that same year, my younger sister and her husband and son were living in Johannesburg and they were leaving for Australia to live. So my parents went to Johannesburg to say goodbye to them. And my father called me and I said, I have some news for you. And I said, when you come home, we'll talk. And he turned around to my mom and said, I know, she's going back to Israel. So when they came home, I sat my father down with a stiff drink. And my mom stood behind his chair and I said, Dad, I know that you wanted me to go away. You and mom were going to take care of the kids. I said, but I don't want to abandon my children, even if it's just to get over this divorce and go on this long trip. He wanted me to send me on this 6-month trip. And I said, 6 months to children who've lost their father is not something that I'm going to countenance. And I greatly appreciate your thoughtfulness, but I'm not leaving my kids. What I am going to do is I've already made arrangements to remake Aliyah and go back to Israel. So he was very upset. He said to me, I'll commit suicide if you go. You're taking my favorite daughter. I said, all of a sudden, I'm your favorite daughter. I was the only one that knocked heads with him because we were so much alike. And I said, no, Dad. I said, if you threaten to commit suicide, let me help you find the gun. And my legs were shaking.
Oh, my gosh.
But I wasn't going to let him manipulate me. I was 27 years of age with 3 small children. And I knew that I had to go by faith. And my dad said, well, if you go back, you have to have a job. So I wrote to a lot of different places in Be'er Sheva. That's where I was going to go, the Shaliach, which is known as the messenger at the Jewish Federation, who helped people make Aliyah. He got me several introductions, and I started writing to various people. And I got my answer, and I had a job before I even left the tarmac.
Wonderful.
In Cape Town. Then my dad said, you can't go without a place to live. You're taking 3 kids. So the Shaliach found me a brand new apartment being given by the Sochnut, the Jewish agency, with a very nominal rent. So I had a place to live and a job. And I went back to Be'er Sheva. But before I did, I received a call from the Jewish Federation saying, we have your tickets, come and get them. And when I got there, I found a retired army colonel in the Israeli army, South African, who said to me, we've been told that you are a Christian missionary. And I looked at him and I said, first of all, you can't tell me how to believe in my heart. I said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lives in my heart. And I said, you can't tell me how to believe. I said, you invite even fortune tellers, people who believe in the occult, people who believe in Buddha, even the Baha'i are in Israel. And I said, you have the chutzpah to ask me about my faith? I said, do you think that I would endanger 3 small children to become a missionary? I said, I believe in one-on-one. And I said, my life has to count for something. And I said, no one will be able to countenance what you are doing. I said, I believe in God. He lives in my heart. What his name is for you is up for debate, but his name is Yeshua. And by that stage, I knew him as Yeshua. So he said, okay, gave me my tickets, and I went home. In the meantime, I'd already said to him, I know exactly who told you this. Can you tell me his name? He said, no, we can't do that. He's a great contributor. I said, don't worry, when I get home, I'll have words with him. So he went red. It was my dad. Because he didn't want me to leave.
Oh. Goodness.
So I had words with my father. I challenged him. And I said to him, Dad, nothing that you are going to do is going to stop me. then I got a call from the Jewish Federation to say, before you leave, because you're going as a single mother with three children, you have to see a psychiatrist. You have to see a psychiatrist. You either are extremely brave or you must be crazy to go to back to Israel as a single woman. It's a very tough life. And I said, I'll go and see the psychiatrist. And I had answers for the psychiatrist to the point where I was driving him crazy. And he picked up the phone and he said, she's saner than you and me, let her go.
Goodness. Well, we are actually almost out of time, Michelle. So you did go back to Israel, and how long were you there?
I went back to Israel. I lived in Israel as a Messianic Jew. I met my second husband there, and we came here in 91 because my husband was ill. And we went through the Gulf War in Israel. I'm still very much a very strong Messianic believer, as you no doubt see from my page.
Yes.
And by the time my parents passed away, both of them had come to faith.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father God.
Wow. I have my son, who is a believer, very strong believer. And my two daughters are, I say, pre-believers. I pray for them every day. And my eldest daughter lives with her husband and three kids in Israel. And I brought up all three kids in Israel. As a matter of fact, I brought my son here when he was 15. And when he graduated high school and he had done his baccalaureate, he went back to Israel for 3 years to serve in the IDF before he came back to study.
Wow.
So he's now doing his PhD and working full time with the March of the Living, and his thesis is going to be on the Holocaust.
Amazing. Well, you certainly are a woman of strength. You've had so many miracles in your life, and the Lord gave you such boldness when you needed it, and I'm just amazed, and I'm definitely going to have you come on again. I think there's a lot more to your life.
There's so much that we haven't even touched on.
Well,
God is so faithful, and I'm so grateful that you included me and thought about me. As a matter of fact, before I prayed about this, and I knew this was an open door from the Lord, because the Lord had told me that I would be speaking to many people, and I do on a day-to-day basis. And I worship at the congregation on my Jewish pastor's administrative assistant, but I'm also an very intense prayer warrior. And I do the Hebrew prayers at the congregation. So it's been a wonderful time of testimony. But as my life, I'm a widow of 11 and a half years now. And it's been an incredible roller coaster ride for me in many, many ways. And yet it has been a time of growth and great faith. And I'm just very grateful that you included me. I went to my pastor and my Rebbetzin and spoke to them about coming on, and they gave it their thumbs up. They thought it was a wonderful opportunity, that I have a great testimony. And I'm just very grateful that you included me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It has been such a blessing. And may the Lord bless you. And I hope to have you come back on the program again sometime. So I will say shalom for now.
Shalom, shalom.
And I will talk with you a little bit off air. But for now, thank you again, and God bless you.
God bless you, Ethel. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Shalom.
That was my interview with Michelle Rosin, and now here's How Good It Is with Rivka Witten.
Yivarechech Adonai Vayishmorecha Yair Adonai Panavalecha Vikunecha Yis Adonai Panavalecha V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.
Thank you.